you and I. Needs openness. Needs a teachable spirit. And all those things God would want to have for us. Jesus fights the battle for our soul every day in prayer. If you didn't pray a lot this last week, God understands where your heart is. You know, He didn't expect you to pray more than you did. He figured you would pray about that much and speak to Him. And to know you're at that point in your walk with God is helpful. If we didn't pray very much this week, someone prayed for us every day. According to the Bible, that was Christ Himself. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 24, God says, Christ lives forever to pray for us. So there's somebody praying for you all the time. Somebody praying for churches. But they pray. That's the way the Lord is. And so don't condemn yourself if your prayer life is weak. Use it as an opportunity to know Christ and meet Him. Use that as a gift. We see in Luke chapter 11, Jesus having a prayer time. His disciples walk in on that. And in verse 1 it says, Jesus was praying in a certain place. He was alone in communication with God. And the disciples asked Him a question. And in other parts of the Scripture, we see Jesus alone praying. He prayed alone before He chose His disciples. In Mark chapter 1, God tells us very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went out of the house to a solitary place to pray. And what was everybody else doing? They were snoozing, like most of us. We're tired, we sleep. Jesus goes to pray. We're glad about that gift. But also He sets an example for us. Have a special time and a place to meet God. Meet Him one-on-one. I think the first practical thing we could do in our relationship with God, and that's what prayer is, it's a relationship, it's closeness, is to have a time and a place where we pray, where we're alone. That's an important gift God would give to us. I know that God's Word says we're to pray without ceasing. We're to pray as we go. That's important. Pray going down the road or wherever God takes you this week. I remember going to my high school baccalaureate service after I graduated. I was invited back to give a message. That was a privilege. But going back to where I went to school, looking at the hallways and the classrooms, as I remember praying in that place when I was desperate or when I was happy about something. So praying as we go can make every place a holy place. A church becomes a holy place when people pray. Your work becomes a holy experience. Your home, you offer it to God in that way. And yet Jesus says He had a certain place where He prayed, a special time. And He was committed to that, and I think God invites us to be committed to that also. If I just talk to people on the run, I really don't get to know people very well. But if I stop, listen to what they have to say, speak about what's on my heart, that's so much healthier. It's the same in our relationship with God. I know God's Word says Jesus prayed in the morning on that one time. For myself, if I pray in the morning, it's just a time between me and God, before I go out the door, I feel like I'm ready for life. I have a friend that goes with me, and I'm aware of that. If I don't pray, it feels like I'm walking around with one shoe on, out of balance, not knowing how to handle things. So God invites us to meet Him in the morning. Psalm 5, David says, in the morning, Lord, You hear my prayer. And when we seek God in prayer, to make sure it's a heart-to-heart meeting, not something that we would do just as a mechanical experience. I don't know if many of you know the name Lauren Sanney. Lauren Sanney was the founder of Navigators. That's a great group that helps people know Christ and disciple them. Well, he, first of all, worked with men's groups and military groups when he started to help people know about faith in God. And he went to the Air Force Academy one time to speak to some Bible studies. And there was one particular cadet in the Air Force Academy who really prided himself on doing things more than others, as the Air Force Academy is taught to do. Competition will bring out a lot of activity. So if one group did 40 push-ups, his group would do 50 push-ups, and on you go. And so when the Bible studies were happening, in the dormitories, this one particular man said, I'm going to have the biggest Bible study. So when Lawrence Sandy comes, he says, look at the, I got the 50 people in my Bible study as opposed to the 30 and the 20 that used to occur. So Lawrence Sandy comes and speaks to this very large group. He's very glad to be there. And he simply turns to the leader who recruited all these people and said, sir, tell us how you stay warm in your relationship with God. And the leader stopped, blinked a few times and swallowed and didn't know quite what to say under the pressure of the moment. Everybody there listening to what he would have to say. And he just felt like this is where his heart was. To Lawrence Sandy, he said, sir, I don't have much of a relationship with God. He said, I'm a fake. So all that activity he did, you see, even in a good sense, he wanted to compete and attain many things. But inside, he was saying, well, there's a lot of emptiness because I don't have that one-to-one walk with God that I know I need. So I don't know if I were to ask you this morning, what keeps you warm in your relationship with God? What would you say? Would you point to the activity? Would you be able to say before God, I don't have much of a relationship with God? Or I come to church, but I feel like a fake. You know, as you would just be yourself before God, He would move in and say, well, is that where you want to stay? Is that where you want to stay? Or do you want to know me and speak to me on a regular basis? Christ invites us to that. He had a certain time and a place to meet with the Father. He invites us to that. This morning, through prayer, you could say, Lord, I don't know much about you. I feel like in my life I'm apart from you. I need a Savior. Please come and be my Savior in my heart. Because I know all the activity I do will not substitute for what's really going on in terms of the health of my soul. So to seek God like that would be a gift. Second truth the Lord helps us see is the question His disciples asked. They ask Him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. Not just something we do automatically, open our mouth and let it rip. Help us know how to do this. We don't have the motivation often or the means to pray. And we assume God wants to hear from us. If you were to try to get a hold of the governor of Pennsylvania, for example, and say, I'd like to meet with you tomorrow, you're not going to be able to do that. How about the president of the United States? Call him up. I just want to say hello, spend a little time, and give you some requests I have. You won't even get close. You won't get through. The king of the universe says, well, you're invited. He gives his access to you. Lord, teach us about this gift. Teach us to pray. And through Christ, He becomes the motivation and means for our prayer. In other words, the best reason you could ever pray is you simply want to talk to God and spend time with Him. Prayer is more than getting answers. It is building a relationship, building a trust relationship. When Jesus died on the cross, which we're going to especially remember at communion, the Bible tells us the curtain of the temple was torn in two. If there could be a big curtain put up here right in front of the communion table where only certain people could go, the high priest and other people on special occasions, they come into that curtain, you know. And there, that everybody knows, well, that's really the closest part to God. When that curtain was torn in two, God was saying, everybody, because of Jesus, everybody could be close to God, as close as you want to be. And you think of your own prayer life, your prayer means as much to God as Billy Graham's prayer. Through Christ. He says, you talk to me. That's as important. And through Christ, your prayer fellowship with God is as welcomed as Jesus' prayer fellowship was with God. As Jesus would pray, of course, the Father would be all ears. Because you say, I need Christ as my Savior. You pray and are welcomed into the presence of God. We say, Lord, teach me to pray. Help me for my sin of prayerlessness. If I don't talk to somebody, that says there's something wrong in my relationship with them. If we don't talk with God, there's something wrong in our relationship with Him. In Psalm 51, David sensed that. He said, "Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will bring forth your praise. Lord, change my heart so I could pray as you want me to pray." There was a fellow named J.C. Ryle, who was a bishop in the Episcopal Church. He wrote this about prayer in the 1800s. Still applies very well today. He says, "How can you know God without praying? You know nothing of men and women in this world unless you speak to them. You cannot know God unless you speak to Him in prayer. If you wish to be with Him in heaven, you will be one of His friends on earth. If you want to be one of His friends on earth, you will pray." Lord, teach us to pray. The promise of Psalm 145 is the Lord is near to those who call on Him in truth. To say, I want to talk to God. And His ear and heart will be towards you. And then the third truth I think we can get from the passage is that God's Word, the Scripture, can often be a heartfelt, personal prayer to God for us. What people know is the Lord's Prayer. When we pray that, it's not to be said just from memory, as if they were words that produce an automatic response to God and ourselves. Sometimes before prayer time, I've caught myself saying, let's all say the Lord's Prayer together. You know, it was just in my head and not my heart. But that Scripture that Jesus gave, that prayer, can be an opportunity to know God very well and say, "Oh, help me to know you as a father, perhaps the father I never had. Help me to know you give me every breath of life, the daily bread. Help me to long for your will to be done." And God uses the Scripture to help our prayer life. Adrian Rogers said this, "The prayer that gets to heaven is the prayer that starts in heaven." Scripture started in heaven. God says, "This is what I'm like. Here's the way to know me." And we can know God like that in our prayer life. And then at last, the gift that we could take about prayer in the weeks to come. I hope to go through parts of the Lord's Prayer and say, "Lord, teach us to pray in this manner." See, prayer is a gift of grace and not a labor for salvation. I think that's important for us in our walk. In Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus taught about the Lord's Prayer, He said, "Don't think God's going to hear you because of the number of words you say." In other words, He said, don't keep babbling on like a person who really doesn't know God. We don't want to have our prayer be that way. Sometimes we think if I pray long enough, God will love me and I'll wear Him down so He gives me what I think I need. We don't have a relationship like that with our loved ones. You know, if I just talk long enough, I'll talk somebody into something, to seeing my point of view, and then we're at peace again. Our relationship with God is not like that. Even in the Lord's Prayer, we say, "Well, if I just say the Lord's Prayer five times, maybe I can walk away and feel like I have a new life." It's not your volume. Not the number of things you repeat. It's where your heart is. A gift of salvation, not a work of salvation. And Matthew Henry said about the Lord's Prayer, it was not to be lip labor. It's a different kind of phrase. That I work to try to get God's love by me talking to Him. Prayer is not lip labor. But prayer is a gift to say thank you. Things can be right with you and God through Christ. What a wonderful gift, open to all. Prayer is a lot like communion. Open to all who would turn to Christ. And just like communion is a gift to those who would come humbly, prayer is a gift to those who would humbly say, "Lord, teach me to pray." And this morning, we're invited to participate in communion because of Christ. In fact, that's the only reason. He is the only reason why anybody ever participates in communion. Why do I participate in communion and you do? Because of Christ. Why would anybody pray and meet God? because of Christ, His love and His kindness. Might we meet Him in our time of communion and in our prayer life. And before we hear the words of invitation to communion, let's pray together for different needs and thank the Lord for the gift of Himself. Would you pray with me?